See, everybody remember him from the Knicks, you know, when he helped win that second championship and everything like that. But I'm talking about when he was with the Bullets down Winston-Salem Stadium before that, gave him 42 points a game the whole season, 41.6. The whole season. But the Knicks, they put the shackles on him, man. You know, on his whole game, they locked him up like in a straitjacket or something. When he was in the streets of Philly, the playgrounds, oh, he was like, huh. You know what they call him?
What?
Jesus. That's what they call him, Jesus. Because he was the truth. Then the white media got a hold of it. Then they got to call him Black Jesus. You know, he can't just be Jesus. He got to be Black Jesus, you know. But still, he was the truth.
And welcome to the Unnamed Podcast. This is Andrew.
Is he laughing?
I'm not sure because
what's happening here?
I don't find whatever he's laughing at funny.
Whatever cough medicine you're taking. Can we get some, please?
It's all mine.
You seem really happy.
It's all my cough syrup. None for you.
There's no jokes. Nothing happened.
We were talking about high school books, so that's funny. That's funny in itself. No.
Welcome to the Unnamed Movie
is
Podcast.
Am I high?
I'm not sure what we usually start with, but
no,
Damien has something to talk
welcome.
About.
It's high and welcome.
High and welcome.
Mm-hmm. No, to the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
No, wait, stop.
I am Andrew.
No, seriously.
This
wait,
is Damien.
Mm-hmm. When we, you and me do high and welcome,
mm-hmm.
we don't stop. Okay?
Right.
So, I say high and welcome.
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 This is going to be interesting to have all of this just sitting there in the front.
High and welcome.
Anyway. This week.
Patented.
Oh my god.
This week.
I need a trademark on this. Anyways.com.
What is it? Just like how
just
Candy Crush
patented candy.
We should patent
it. Yeah, anyway. Every time you type it, there's just a circle with an R and we get like a fraction of a cent. It's ours.
This week, I wanted us to sit down and talk about the latest film by Alexander Payne, Nebraska.
So, you told the sheriff that you were walking to Nebraska?
That's right. To get my $1 million.
This is Woody Grant.
We are now authorized to pay $1 million to Woodrow T. Grant of Billings, Montana.
This is his son.
You didn't win anything. It's a complete scam. So you gotta stop this, okay?
I'm running out of time.
This is his wife.
I never knew the son of a bitch even wanted to be a millionaire.
It's a film about an elderly man who one day comes to the belief that he's won $1 million in a sweepstakes, but has to go to Lincoln, Nebraska to go and get it. After harassing all of his family enough, one son decides, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to take you to Lincoln, Nebraska, so you'll shut up. And it's all about their travels and just general whatever they end up doing along the way. And old people jokes. I like this movie, guys. I like this movie a lot. And it's because it works on one thing that I like to see a lot in movies, and it's compassion. It's 1,000% compassion and just... And also, I like the humor of it. It's a very dry, weird sense of humor, especially when you get to a lot of the old people jokes. I think like one of my favorite things in this movie is like not just the father-son relationship, but when eventually the mother comes around. And I think there's this one scene where they're in a graveyard, and she looks at all of these guys who are all dead, and she lifts up her skirt. You could have had this, hon. And I'm sorry, I just broke down laughing. It was just too good. Because I think it's part of it is that I don't see old people like that often. Like, just being crude, or in any sense. And it just got me as a thing that made me laugh. And it's something that we see in movies and television a lot. I even saw it in this week's Girls. Scene
Sir, what?
Girls.
What is he talking about?
That TV show that you guys don't like.
I thought I was the only one. Wasn't I on an island at one? Didn't you like it at some point? Yes, you did.
No.
Don't.
No.
I was alone waving a flag.
I said I was going to
It was between me and you for the most part.
And then you went, you know what? Oh, but you quietly came over to the island.
With me.
Fuck that show.
But I don't think I'm going to get into that show. I was just kind of bringing up the fact that it had something to do with some of that ness. Right. The old people...
Ness.
we make ourselves laugh too much in this podcast.
Can I get that on a shirt? Old people-ness.
You suffer from old people-ness.
That's what, when I turn 30. That's what which means we owe you a shirt.
Am I going to get that shirt too?
No. You'll be dead.
Before. And that's kind of why this movie works so much for me. Otherwise, it just feels so positive in that father-son relationship. Even though you can see a lot of past negative things that have happened and between them, even with the sons, where they're like, yeah, he used to drink and stuff like that. But there's no animosity.
Oh God! Today. There's a line. Not to cut you. There's a line. It's like, Bear's not drinking. Oh, that is beautiful.
There's one almost near that which I prefer, which is have a bear with your dad, be a man.
Be somebody.
Oh, like, I love that one.
So good. Just drunk, drunk talk. I've heard people say that. I've heard it. Bear's not drinking. Right, dog. It's not alcoholic. This. It's cherry juice.
What?
Oh, so good.
But yeah, this movie is just, I'm not calling this an amazing movie or a movie that should have won at the Oscars anything big, but it was just a really enjoyable experience. It's one of those movies where I kind of call it a slow burn of a movie where, like, it isn't like loud at you. It doesn't feel like it's hitting you over the head with anything, and it's just so enjoyable, and the humor is so weird, almost to an extent in the same way I feel you took Enough Said. Right, where the humor is just kind of there, and I can almost already feel the sense where this is going to be probably the number one Alexander Payne film where I feel like I'm put it on any day and just enjoy it, and I really like it for that.
Mr. Robinson,
no, you go ahead.
I can't go ahead because you don't like this movie, and so I'm not going to cheerlead the movie after Andrew did. I want to cheerlead it after you.
Go cheerlead. All right. No.
So, Andrew is downplaying just how good this movie is. This movie is incredible. The movie is special in the way it treats family relationships and how those relationships color you as you grow up. He thought that his father was this thing, and then he took him on the road, essentially, because he was depressed. His girlfriend had moved out, and he's like, you know what, I'm tired of going and picking up this man who is trying to walk 4,000 miles to Nebraska. Let me just take him away from his nagging wife and from this terrible town.
Let's have a trip.
He doesn't have to talk. I am certainly not going to talk to him. Let's just go. And then they set off on the journey, and it becomes a road movie, but like the most depressing road movie. Like, there's nothing fun about it. It's just him realizing that his father is kind of this drunk asshole, and it's not until he gets to the town that his father grew up and meets all of his father's old friends, you see them color him in a different light. And it starts out positive until his father does the thing that he asked him not to do, which is tell him that he's won some money. And then all of a sudden the vultures come. And you see them start to paint him in essentially a worse light than he ever thought possible. And it took his wife showing up to just crush, just destroy from top to... She... is my favorite part of this movie. She's incredible. Because the entire time she's playing this nagging, old, bitter woman, you want to root against her, but in every step of the way, you're like, no, she's right again. She's clearly a terrible person. But she's not wrong. She is not wrong. And it just continues. And there's a lot of little things. Like you said, there's
the Mount Rushmore scene.
There are so many small things about the movie that made me smile. And like the cousins made me laugh, like every time they were on screen. Because I've been in that situation. You go somewhere where you barely know the people, right? You're like, oh, I knew you when you were yay big. And then you sit down in the living room and realize instantly, I'm nothing in common with these idiots. And so they find a thing. They're like, oh, it took you 2 days to drive 2,000 miles? What are you driving, a hearse? And it's the funniest thing they've ever heard in their lives. And you're just looking at them like, you're all morons, aren't you? And then the more and more families show up, you realize the dynamic. The men sit and stare at the box. And the women try to be, you know, like women. They try
sociable.
To...
sociable.
Right.
They're trying to interact.
Just failing, just hitting a wall. And there's a scene where all of them, there's like 19 men in the living room, all sitting on couches, just staring at the football. And you're just like, I have seen this. I've seen this already. And you hear the dumb jokes that they make. And you, like, the movie, it feels genuine. Like, it is a dumb thing that happened. And it's a dumb thing that I can imagine happening. Right? Having the cousins... Oh, that scene where the two of them are just outside the bar. You two idiots. And you just... There's just thing after thing after thing. And then the movie ends and it is just glorious.
But at the same time, even with all of that humor, like, I don't want to just say that this is that light comedy. That ending scene, like, it got me because that feels like the kind of thing that I would do.
It's right? Pretty good.
Which is giving the small victory. And I love it for doing that. And Douglas is giving me the dead eye.
I love the compressor scenes. In fact, I love all the scenes with Saul.
With Bob Odenkirk?
With Saul. His name is now Saul, once and for all. Just like Walter White's name is now Walter White.
No, he's Heisenberg.
Fine. Just watching everyone interact. Like, it is a story, it is a linear progression, but the story that is being told is not being told linearly, because as you meet people, they fill in gaps in this guy's life. And so I like how the story is told. I like the story that is being told. The what's his name, the old curmudgeon guy, I'm forgetting his actual
Bruce
name.
Bruce Dern.
Right, Bruce Dern. He is incredible. He plays inept old man better than I've ever seen anybody else do it. And then there's points where you see him turn, like, there's information given to you and you realize that he's ashamed and you see his entire expression change. But it only changes for like that instant, and then the next time you see him, he's just this out there old bat that is going to collect his $1 million. And everything about this movie I enjoy from start to finish. In fact, I knew this movie was special when they had the opening logo be the 70s old-timey logo. I went, yep, you guys got me.
I think this is a movie that could have broken into my top 10.
Yeah.
Like, it's that enjoyable.
I love this
for
movie.
Me.
I love this movie a lot. A lot. This movie is a solid 4. I will give it a 4. I'm definitely going... The thing I'd heard about the movie is it is Will Forte's, you know, he's being a serious actor and whatnot. So I expected something different, but Will Forte did no. He was like, you could have replaced him with anybody.
He was just fine.
Sure, he is not giving jokes. No one cares. He is absolutely throwaway in this movie. No one cares. The movie that is around him, though, they surround him with the best cast of people.
All the old people. Every single old person. So good.
So good. And what's his name? Stacy something, I don't know. The guy that was going to blackmail him. His real name is Stacy something.
Guy who was going to blackmail
him? Yeah, the guy that stole his compressor.
Oh. You mean...
The actor's
wasn't
name.
Wasn't that... Dennehy? Wasn't that Brian Dennehy?
No.
I thought it was Brian Dennehy. I didn't look it up.
I've always remembered his name because it's Stacy something. Yeah, I find that hilarious.
And men can't be named Stacy.
Mm-hmm. Is that his name?
I don't know. It just sounds like it works.
You're a bad person. For sure, King.
Come on, IMDb, load.
This shit sucks.
Stacy Keach, that's his name.
You're right.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, his name is Stacy.
For some reason, I thought it was Brian Denny. Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah, because you're a racist.
I'm like, that's the guy from Rambo 1, right?
Yes, I love this movie. I'm 100%. I'll cheerlead this movie. I knew it was going to win jack shit.
No, yeah.
Not a chance. But I still love it.
Anyway, Douglas is stewing over there, having discovered that he's now in the minority of this podcast. So first of all, before he speaks, we have to recognize that this movie is Tump approved.
Already Tump approved. So you're.
So Douglas, tell us how much you love this movie.
I love it so much.
Do I really
so much
have to
I love
talk
it.
About this movie?
Yes, you do.
Do I really have to talk about this movie?
Now speak.
Andrew and Damian.
Yes, Sir Douglas.
Go
of Nottingham.
Fuck yourself. For making me watch this movie. Wow. I stayed up till about...
That's your own fault.
2 o'clock in the morning one night because, oh my goodness, I have to watch this movie for the podcast. This movie is so bad. It's
not
even funny. I don't like this movie at all.
So we heard.
No.
Are you saying you don't like old people? Do you know that you're old?
Yeah, you're technically his age.
So listen, guys. So this movie is bad, right?
Is it though?
Yes, it is. I was never able to really care about anything in this movie. I was never able to get sucked into this movie. Why? I think the first thing that I noticed was that nobody in this movie really acts at all, ever. Like, it's as you say, Will Forte is throwaway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And everybody else in this movie realizes what this movie is.
You're telling me she didn't act?
No, she did not.
He didn't act.
There is an argument to be made for him, but that's all I will give you, right?
Me that Saul, no, Saul. Played
Saul,
Saul
was like
Bob Saul
played
whatever.
Listen,
I don't know who that.
You know that name that came up at the top of Breaking Bad every week?
Yep,
Bob Odenkirk
from the Bob and David show.
No, it was just
from
produced by Vince Gilligan. I don't know.
All right, but seriously, no, like. Everybody in this movie realized exactly what this movie was.
Comedians.
This movie is...
The movie.
A series of really bad old people jokes. That's all this movie is. Right? Every 5 seconds, there was something. And guess what? Guess what, Andrew?
These guys weren't old.
Whatever. Guess what? Guess what, Damian?
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Right? Mm-hmm. Old people aren't usually, you know, crass. They don't say naughty words.
I know what's happening.
They don't pick up their dresses most of the time, right?
Most of the time. They usually pee on their dresses.
So, sure. That, you know, one or two of those jokes, fine. Mm-hmm. But every second it was like they were hitting me over the head with the old people jokes. That's every second it was like, I need to make you laugh at old people again. And to me, That's really all this movie was. The relationship between Will Forte and Bruce Dern really wasn't... It didn't feel like it was... It felt forced, right? And, you know, all the... I guess all the pieces were there. You know, they are forced together. This son who doesn't really like his dad. And this dad who couldn't give a shit because, one... He probably didn't care when he did remember, and now he's kind of at the point where he might just not remember that he's his son, you know, that kind of way. There are, you know, he just trying to like make
good.
Me like this movie by showing me more pictures of the Douglas, movie. That Douglas, doesn't work.
Douglas, right? I know what's happening, right? I didn't want to have to bring this up,
yes.
But I realized, Douglas, you take exception to the fact that they're mocking your people. Right? You don't My like people. The fact that you're old now. And these old people jokes are a step too far, damn it.
Is it that you couldn't follow the movie because your memory was just going... Fuck you guys.
Is it because it's in black and white, you can't really make out who is you need color? The one, I keep telling you to use subtitles, Douglas.
So bringing up the black and white, actually, that's one thing that I did like about this movie. This movie, at times, was extremely pretty, right? There were some great shots of the backdrop, especially. I think the scene that kind of I loved the most, simply because of the look of it, was essentially... It was kind of any scene in the small town, and that, you know how all small towns essentially have one main street.
Right, they have the street.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so anytime they're on the main street, it looked so fantastic. There was just something about, maybe it had something to do with the fact that it was in black and white.
Or it reminded you of the town you grew up in.
Whatever. But, you know, there were times when you would see the backdrop, and it would almost look like, it almost looked like a set in, say, a movie from the 60s or the 70s. It looked like those houses weren't real. It looked like they were kind of facades. And it looked like the sky wasn't real. It looked like it was almost, you know, those screens that they'd put up. And there was just something about it that was beautiful. Now, you've gotten all the praise that you'll get for this movie from me. Because this movie... was
is
horrendous.
This the movie that you wanted, Douglas?
Nobody.
The one that's in color.
What movie is this? Is this
that's what you wanted.
I really don't care. This movie is bad. The acting is bad. Like, the jokes are bad. And that's essentially what this movie hinges on. It hinges on you thinking that they're acting good, and you getting into the relationship.
Sorry, goodly.
Goodly.
Thank you.
And it hinges on you liking old people jokes over and over and over again.
But if
and
that were the case, mad. I'd have liked Jackass Bad Grandpa or whatever it was. And I
I'm
didn't
sure
like
you
that.
Did.
Mostly because I didn't watch it. But those ads weren't funny.
No, they weren't.
But this movie is.
No, Andrew seemed to like the ads, but no.
Every time I saw the ad, I laughed.
Yeah, because
you so you really are a bad person.
Yeah, he is.
I try very well to be that. Try very much.
To be very well.
I try very goodly to be that.
But Douglas, the Mount Rushmore joke.
What? Douglas, listen. It's hard to find things funny at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're tired, having just come off watching a equally terrible movie.
I wouldn't say equally terrible.
I would
watch Out of the Furnace, mm-hmm. Is that the name of it? 10 times before I watch this movie again.
I understand. But you're tired, right? You need it. You sleep. You know, old people shouldn't stay up that late. We understand. Right? You need your rest. Can't wait till I stop calling sleep and calling it rest. Oh, good times. Douglas, you're wrong. We've already established that it's Thumper proof, so I don't have to go into it. Guys, there's a reason this movie got nominated for nonsense. Because it's really good. It really is good. Will Forte is not the reason you should watch this. So if it was, don't.
Bruce Dern.
Everything else, literally everything else about this movie is fantastic. All the setups are good. Douglas is saying that it's just a string of old people jokes. That's not the case at all. It's not a string of jokes at all. It's just a string. It is just this old man. He didn't know how the mechanism worked. It just works like that. Right. The movie, the premises is, if you find it even remotely funny, you'll find the rest of this movie funny. An old man thinks he's won $1 million because of some cheap sweepstakes nonsense, and he's determined to go and collect his $1 million, and on the way convinces old people, old friends and past family that he has actually won $1 million. And shenanigans. Do you like shenanigans? Yeah. Do you like shenanigans with old people? You know you do. So just watch this movie. Everybody except Douglas. It's fine. I'll buy it for your birthday, and then you have to watch it again. In the bluest of rays. In all of the Blu-rays. And you'll watch it.
Do you
because
think
it's pretty.
That if you burn a Blu-ray,
mm-hmm.
that the flame is also blue?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay, well.
Why else would I call it Blu-ray?
When you get me that Blu-ray, mm-hmm. we will find out.
Last week, looking forward to March's Grand Budapest Hotel.
Fun food arrest.
I was very interested
Andrew
to find out.
The Budapest.
I'm the Budapest. I'm very interested to find out what people think are their favorite Wes Anderson characters. Because if there's one thing about his movies, he makes just this amazing list of characters for us all to
enjoy.
Can't
wait till he makes that James Bond movie that no one will watch. Idiot.
Wouldn't that be great?
No.
He'd have a jacket.
He'd have a cape, is
and
what he'd
and
have.
A pipe,
and a monocle.
And a pipe. And
yep,
a monocle.
And a monocle.
I'd just be like.
I hope.
He'd solve all of his problems
yeah.
with the most whimsical of things. Oh, wow. That'd be special. Anyway,
so it would be the Avengers.
Anyways, the responses came in. First came from one Mr. Matinee, Ryan McNeil, saying that, quote, "When I grow up, I want to be as fantastic as Mr. Fox." Snap, click, whistle.
That's already my answer, so you lost.
It's
my one.
Amir Sultani responded in with the Streep and Clooney duo from Fantastic Mr. Fox. Blair J. Campbell said that he tends to go for either Royal Tenenbaum or Ash from Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Is it sad that whenever I hear the name Ash, I'm like, Evil Dead? Huh?
That's not sad.
I love the Evil Dead.
Sam Koff from Australia responds with Ash from Fantastic Mr. Fox. And last coming from Kanan, responding with the boy from Moonrise Kingdom. Because, guys, Moonrise Kingdom is amazing.
It's pretty good. The movie's pretty good. I like it a lot.
I actually spent last week rewatching Darjeeling Limited, which is one of his movies that I didn't like that much. I found, and I was rewatching it, and I still didn't like it very much. But I realized what it is. It's that
it's not very good, is it?
It has all of the tones and the feels of Wes Anderson movies that I love, and all of that weird comedy that
goodness.
I love. But none of but it just never felt right. I'm going to say none of the goodness. Are you happy?
I'm sorry, guys.
But I was wondering with this week going forward, since I finally saw the Lego movie.
Lego.
And with it being a movie that had a very distinct message to it that I already agreed with going in. But at the same time, I ended up loving the movie. I find with movies that come with messages, with very heavy-handed messages, with those kind of movies, it's very much like a roll of the dice. Like sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't for me. And I was thinking mostly about movies that possibly you walk into the movie disagreeing with that message.
Right.
Like, have you ever gone into a movie like that, and what was, like, the best one? Like, have any of them actually won you over in that message?
The Act of Killing.
No, I went in agreeing with that message. You just have murder people.
Because, I mean, there are a lot of movies out there, and I think more specifically last year, one that I found was Don John, where the message of that movie is something where I already figured out many years prior. And, like, I was considering, I was thinking to myself, what would it be like for someone to watch this movie, like, not understanding that concept? Like, not figuring out that message as being something in the world. Like, yeah, I want to know how they felt about this movie and if it worked on them.
You really don't, though. You don't. Because you know that type of person and you know exactly what they're taking away from that movie. He's with Scarlett Johansson. This is like a plan. It's be a dirtbag for the rest of my life. Did you watch any of that movie? I don't care.
His cut is... It's like you had Source Code. You cut out the last. Cuts out the last.
I like the message. I like this guy. You lift weights. You stack paper. You get Scarlet. I like this. I don't know though. Movies that I disagree with the message.
Or at the very least, it was a thought that you hadn't quite considered yet. Anyways, let's see.
Yeah, I'll next week I'll have an answer. I don't know. You? Do you know?
I
no idea.
I'm worried I'll burst out laughing again for no reason. But no. The truth is,
he just disagrees with slavery. So. That's why those movies are so hard.
That,
for him.
That shit done. You need something built.
Long distance information to give me Memphis. Thank you. Help me find the party. Trying to get in touch with me. She could not leave her number, but I know who placed the call. My uncle took the message and he wrote it on the wall. Oh, help me, information to get in touch with my Marie. Only one who phoned me here from Memphis, Tennessee.
Excuse me. I wonder if you gentlemen could tell me where I could find Mr. Gustafson?
No, Gustafson, no, sorry.
Mr. John Gustafson?
That's right.
You mean the lowlife, asswipe, egg-sucker John Gustafson?
Have you seen him?
Man's crazy, loco. Always hanging out around those kinky strip bars. You know, the ones where the men take their clothes off?
Oh, for God.
That's, of course, if he's taking his medication.
Medication?
Yes, without it, he could be anywhere, wandering around, talking to the trees. Believe me, this man is a menace.
So moving to our top five this week.
Mm-hmm.
And in honor of Nebraska, the Tump-approved Nebraska.
Damn right it is.
I wanted us to do our top five old curmudgeons. Because if there's one thing we love in movies, it's old curmudgeons, right? Right.
I do.
I have to say that I don't have many alternates for my list.
Oh, wait, so, hold on. It's the person that we're talking about here? I thought we were talking about the movie.
Yeah, I was talking about the person.
Okay, but that's
the character.
That still works.
Yeah. So, I guess I'll start it off.
Mm-hmm.
And my number five is the youngest of this lot. Mm-hmm. And it's mainly because as I looked at the top five I picked, it wasn't actually old curmudgeons. It was just curmudgeons.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the top, I'm like, to be a curmudgeon, you just have to be annoying and surly and just...
You just have to be Damien.
Right.
Just right. Surly all the time for no reason.
So my number five is one Walter Sobchak. Sorry, I'm probably ruining that name. And it is played by the one Mr. John Goodman from The Big Lebowski. Because, guys, over the line, right? if as much as I'll debate the overall goodness of The Big Lebowski, I adore John Goodman in that movie, and the characters of that movie is amazing.
One day I'm going to sit down and watch that movie.
And you'll like it.
I'm going to like it.
One day.
I have to. I'm tired of hearing about it. And I'm tired of not really liking that movie. I feel like I'm doing a bad thing.
You feel like you're doing...
Everyone likes that movie. It feels like my kind of stupid. I don't understand why I don't like it. Anyways. It is now my time. Now my list is a long list. Because I like movies with old comedians. Because why not? I'm going to start out with the one that all of you have on your list. So just take it off now.
No, I'm going to call it all the same.
The Eastwood of Clint Eastwood. In Gran Torino. Like, he was born to play two roles. Right? Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And then Gran Torino. When we saw that trailer, we went, yeah. That seems about right. And then you saw the movie and went, mm-hmm.
Oh, you just heard such...
Get off my lawn. Yeah. Yeah, Clint. You're a bad person. I'm an old man. And I wish that when I grow up, I'm like you. That is my aim. To be... Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino.
The moments where he's being nice to people just feels weird.
No, I won't break character. Ever. Mr. Rob.
Yeah?
Douglas. Rob.
Okay.
DJ Rob.
So, Andrew, you started off with one of my all-time favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll return the favor. There's a guy by the name of Melvin. Melvin Udall. He really likes dogs, or one specific dog, and he can't walk on cracks, and he can't get served by different waitresses, and his real name is Jack Nicholson, and he stars in As Good As It Gets, and that's a... I like that curmudgeon.
I don't like that movie, though.
Really?
That movie's a good movie.
I like that movie.
I think Andrew goes a little bit overboard with that movie, but...
Like, I haven't seen it in a while, but I don't remember liking that movie. Anyway.
My number four comes from one of my favorite movies that I don't think either of you guys like, if I remember correctly. And it is the one Mr. Earl Partridge... Who, as in the movie, they say, why is it every other word out of your mouth is always cocksucker, fuck you, or shit? And it is from the movie Magnolia, played by Jason Robards. He's an old curmudgeon.
Yes, he is. It's a pretty good one. That might be the only thing I like about that movie. It's him.
Because he says cocksucker.
That's pretty
good. You don't like Magnolia either?
Never let them.
If it was a movie we talked about, it would be not be Thump approved. But
yeah.
But because it isn't a review movie, it could never be Thump disapproved.
Fair enough. In Django Unchained, there's an old black man.
Oh shit.
And he was incredible. In fact, when you look up curmudgeon in the dictionary, it should just be a picture of his face. Sam Jackson acted the shit out of that role. And Sam Jackson in Django. Holy shit. So good. God damn, I love that movie. Okay.
Alright, guys. So. The thing about curmudgeons is that when the jinx is occupied, they don't like other people knocking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they get a little surly. They tend to lose eyes.
It helps if they have grit.
Yes, true grit. And my number four curmudgeon is one Rooster Cogburn from... Not the original, but the latest.
But the best.
The best.
The best one.
But I can't say the best because I haven't seen the original.
You don't need
yet,
to. Oh, wow. You've seen the best one.
But from the Coen Brothers version of True Grit.
Oh, man. You should watch the old one.
I should, and it's, go it's and watch definitely some, on our list.
Go watch some of that guy be an old curmudgeon. I like that. My number three is one of those things where what I started with was going, that actor has to have done this role like 5,000
right, yeah,
times.
Yeah, like,
so I'm going
you're
to look
an old curmudgeon in real life.
I'm going to look at his list. I'm going to pick one of the movies that I like from him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a movie I actually mentioned a few weeks back, and I know Douglas hasn't watched it. Damon and I love this movie. It is the character Avery Ludlow. And if there's one thing you don't want to do to this man, it's kill his dog. Because you did that in Ray.
Terrible idea.
And he was not a nice man after that.
Yeah.
Played by the one Mr. Brian Cox.
Straight killing it.
Douglas is looking odd. There was this movie called Red a few years
not
ago.
Not the shitty one with...
There was,
what's his face?
Which actually
Die
had Brian Cox in it.
Is in, which is why I'm trying to...
It was a small movie.
And that's why I'm saying it's not that one.
It was
I know you look confused right now.
It was a small movie about an old man with a dog and a dumb young teenager killed the dog thinking, oh, I'll get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Cox did not let him get away with it.
He had other plans. he was old and very angry.
Okay.
Did not like it. He was very fond of that dog. This one is not... She's not in a movie, per se. She's in a TV show.
Doesn't count, next.
Fine.
But
which is why,
make it mean.
Which is why I'm going to use the movie that she was in. But really, it's for the TV show. Now, Jack Donner, he has a mother.
Okay.
In 30 Rock.
Alright, so which one of her
Elaine Stricken. And she is the worst. However, she was in Monster in Law. Now, while that movie sucks balls, really does suck. She, like, part of me wants a grandmother like that. Just to talk to her. So filled with hatred. It's like, just imagine Jack's mother just times a thousand. She's just the worst. And she's on the list. She's number three.
Okay. So, something tells me none of you guys thought of this.
You're probably wrong.
I'm pretty sure my number one is one you guys never thought of.
But so, there was a time in my young life when I used to...
In the pockets?
When I used to love this series of movies. There was a time in my life when Billy Crystal was actually funny. He hasn't been funny for a little while.
I don't believe you.
But Billy Crystal can be awesome.
Again... You have no evidence to support this.
Especially when he's trying to be a cowboy. But he's really just a fucking city slicker.
I love those movies.
Who
they're
has
so bad.
A real cowboy that gets annoyed with him. And that real cowboy is played by none other than the great Jack Palance. And his name is Curly. And oh, is Curly so, so surly. It's great.
Until there's gold. Like, he's okay when there's gold.
I just found a piece of gold.
Love those movies.
You know what? You might want to give the name of the movies.
City Slickers.
City Slickers.
It was a joke. No, what? Really? The tone?
You've seen those movies, right?
Of course.
Right.
They're on TV all the time.
And they're the best, right?
They're really good.
Okay. Just want to make
you
sure.
Can't not like those movies.
Want to make sure we're not alone in that camp.
No,
like
it's the reason people still like Billy Crystal.
Okay, my number two
sure shit
is the token is the one everyone's going to talk about, and it's Walt Kowalski from Gran Torino, played by Clint Eastwood. Because I could have gone and looked for another Clint Eastwood movie, but if
why?
You picked any other one other than
what
this,
would be the point?
You're cheating. You're lying to yourself.
Yeah. It is the one.
This is the curmudgeon that everyone shapes themselves after. I mean,
what if you're a gunslinger that lived long enough to be a curmudgeon? Yep, that's pretty much it. Thanks, Clint.
Wait,
good job.
That's what that movie was about. He was a gunslinger.
No, no. Aww. We just imagine.
Yeah, but
we just imagine.
We
like,
know that is what he did in a past life.
I want that to be.
It might as well have been.
And I'm pretty sure the people who wrote that movie thought that way too. So they just didn't say enough about the past.
Once he said yes,
they said,
exactly.
They said Korea and the war, and I mean, we just kind of copy and paste the rest
right.
in our minds.
Now Marlon Brando has been in a lot of things. He's been old in very few things. The Island of Dr. Moreau is one of those things. And he is old. And he
is that
not
the latest version that he's in?
It's the only one I've ever seen.
With Val Kilmer?
Val Kilmer? I don't think so.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I didn't know who was Moreau in the new version. Because there's a, by new I mean like, that's not my phone.
No, it's mine.
Okay. By new I mean like, probably when I was in sixth form.
Probably was, but I don't remember.
No, I know Val Kilmer is in that one. Because there was a time when I thought Val Kilmer was.
There's a time a lot of people thought Val Kilmer was going to be somebody.
Yeah, it's Val Kilmer one.
Is it Val Kilmer one that he's in?
Okay. That's actually a movie I remember coming on TV and me seeing like 5 minutes of, but I've never watched the whole movie.
Yeah, no, I started watching it and realized that it is horrible.
I always enjoyed watching Marlon Brando just get angry all the time.
Apparently it's a great classic movie.
Just angry.
I think, isn't there just an original
and
that everybody loves?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Douglas?
Oh, my turn. Okay. So alright. There's this movie and it's great. And I don't even know how to like intro it or whatever. But this is one of those movies where I'm not going to be like that guy or that guy. It's just the whole movie. Everybody in this movie is an old, just crazy curmudgeon. And actually, I could go with any one of these movies. Can I just pick grumpy old men, all of them?
Sure.
Because, I mean.
Because.
I love those guys.
like I think I'm kind of sad that kind of movie making seems to be almost over.
Mm-hmm.
Where the idea of two actors being buddies in whatever story you put them in and just continuously being, we'll be happy to watch another Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon.
Exactly, because,
like,
you know,
that doesn't happen anymore.
You
like,
look at Grumpy Old Men and you're
right
like,
now.
Oh, it's the Odd Couple. And then you look at Odd Couple and you're
the,
like, oh,
the closest
it's this other
we've
movie
gotten
that
to it is
like,
the Simon Pegg and Nick Frost stuff.
Yeah.
And we have a Channing Tatum and his fat friend.
But that's only one movie
That's three movies.
No, hold on.
Is going to be number
three. No, that's only two movies that one is a sequel to the other one.
Yeah.
You realize how many separate different movies those guys were in together?
Yeah, but they just started. Channing Tatum and my boy is starting out right now.
Okay.
So years and years into the future.
You're hoping that's going to be it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I hope to. I love Grumpy Old Men movies. I love Walter Matthau. I love Jack Lemmon. Oh, it's so good. But my number one, and this man, he's known best for his sparkling apple cider. He doesn't take any nonsense from either any foxes. And he is voiced by the one, the only Mr. Michael Gambon. And it is Franklin Bean from Fantastic Mr. Fox, because that. But I'm sorry. There's even the point in the movie where you're just like, we only hear about them through the story and we get to see their farms, but there's a part where you actually get to meet these older characters, and he's the one who calls a meeting, and they're like, how are you going to catch this fox? And it's in the dark, and he sharpshoots around the room, and it is just brilliant. Like, I love that character so much. We talked about it already through all the Wes Anderson conversations, and we've talked about Fantastic Mr. Fox before, but that character is just amazing. And of course, he has a fox tie eventually in the movie. I love it.
So I've won this. It was not a competition, but I've won. I've picked the curmudgeon that has been the curmudgeon, the longest running curmudgeon that you guys can think of. Her name is M. She's been in everything James Bond can think of.
When has she ever been curmudgeonly?
In every single one of those movies. What are you talking about? When has she ever been not curmudgeonly? That is literally her job. To be the bane of James Bond's existence. And she does it well. And they had to replace her in the last one. Spoilers for the two people that didn't see it. That Sky movie made $1 billion. And so, but they've replaced her with someone that will, with Voldemort. Let's be serious.
And we expect him to become curmudgeon.
Yeah, and oh lord, he's been a curmudgeon in his early life. We cannot wait to see what he does. When he's, but Dame Judi Dench, she's the one. She's the best. She would have, as soon as Andrew said the list, even before Clint Eastwood's name came up, this is the name that I put on the list. Yep, Judi Dench wins. I don't care what anyone else says.
Okay.
She's the best.
So, Andrew took my number one.
Question.
What was your number one?
How do I ever make a list where I can put the Big Lebowski in there? How does that ever happen? So, Andrew took my number one. But it's okay, because I did have one backup. And given the person that it is, I think it's kind of good you took it so that he could actually be on the list. Because I don't think either of us, any of us, kind of came up with his name. Bill Murray is like one of the greatest curmudgeons, right? Whether you're talking about, you know, something from Wes Anderson's playlist or something from any of his other.
He was so good.
But I'm not even thinking of that. I'm thinking of before he was old and curmudgeonly. When he was young and curmudgeonly. Because even when he was doing things like Stripes, you saw it. He was borderline.
It was always there.
Exactly. What I'm thinking of specifically is a movie that really should be warming your hearts. But for a lot of the time, it kind of doesn't. And that's why, because this guy's a bit of a Scrooge. And as Frank Cross in Scrooged, he is the biggest, baddest, and probably youngest executive curmudgeon to be promoted to president.
Jim Carrey beat him in the cartoon version.
Can I just say, as a side note, not that we really want to talk about this or anything, but I watched the Oscars now last night.
Yay, and, good for you.
And I have to say, Bill Murray gave me one of my favorite moments from the show. He went to present the Cinematography Award.
Mm-hmm.
And after listing all of the names, he looked directly into the camera and said, "Guys, you left one off. Also Harold Ramis for all of his movies, because Harold Ramis just passed." Like, guys, that's
awesome.
And it was a standing ovation moment. And great moment, Bill. Also, I'm sad to say Harold Ramis gone, because that's a filmmaker that we
was
love.
The Oscars like watchable?
It was. Okay. I enjoyed it.
No.
That's
not what I asked you.
First of all,
Ellen DeGeneres
was pretty good, and mm-hmm. I liked almost that it felt like she didn't care mm-hmm. about being like so much of it. She was just walking around and talking to people and making little jokes,
okay,
as opposed to doing what most people do, which is try and make a big broad set.
I should probably do a super cut of the Oscars.
I think it was you. I was walking past Andrew's room and he was watching it.
Shocking.
And there's a pretty funny joke where DeGeneres was in front of Bradley Cooper, and he must have not won his award by that time.
Mm-hmm.
And she was handing out consolation prizes to him.
Good job.
And I thought that was funny.
She ordered pizza during the presentation. It was like, who wants pizza? And then afterwards, she took Pharrell's hat, because he had the hat.
Of course he did.
I was like, just going around getting money. Harvey Weinstein, people are watching.
Good job. Pretty good. Any honorable mentions for comedians?
No, I don't have any honorable mentions.
I would mention The Big Lebowski still, but also not just Sobchak, but the Big Lebowski in The Big Lebowski.
Sure.
Was he definitely was, you know, second tier curmudgeon, but he was a curmudgeon nonetheless.
So Christopher Lee, who is curmudgeonly in everything, yep. But I chose Lord of the Rings.
Not Star Wars?
No.
No.
Not a Star Wars fan. Bruce Dern for Nebraska because
yeah,
he deserves it.
Well, I didn't want to use that
because he
yeah.
deserves it. Robert Duvall in most of everything
Shit,
he does.
Yes.
Yep.
But specifically Second Hand Lions.
I
oh,
about,
God,
I love
that
movie.
I was
thinking about the other one, the one with Bill Murray, the more recent
yeah,
one.
Yeah, the one where he was
Down
Below. Hermit. Yeah, Down
that
Below.
Was pretty great.
Oh, so good. But, yeah. Low. And Christopher Plummer, Man in a Chair. That, like,
I've never seen that one.
You need to. Just for his performance.
Oh, sorry?
Christopher Plummer.
Oh, okay.
Man in a Chair. Really good.
Right, so
that's the podcast. I'm, as I said, I'm horrible today.
But it's just today.
It's just today.
He'll be back to his A game next week.
Back to my A game.
Next time on Dragon Ball Z.
As always, you can hear the podcast over at gmail.com or us also on iTunes and Stitcher. Douglas, he's on Twitter. He's DJ, I lost his name, bitching and moaning about Scotia. Damien, he's also on Twitter. Generally just making
Scotia easier,
making noise at me. He's at Damien_White.
No, I made noise at USAS. Fucking website, bro. What do you wrote?
Like, they're a...
I hated that website when I was...
They're a... Like, they're a university. Like, the front page is up.
Literally every other link.
I remember those.
They have, like, a IT. They teach IT. How does that happen? That's doing so much.
And, of course, I'm at GBRReviews on Twitter, where...
Oh, man.
Generally, I'm just saying nonsense all the while. So, thanks so much for listening.
When the sun went down, the rapid tempo of the music fell. C'est la vie, c'est the old folks. You go to show, you never can tell. They bought a souped up jitney, was a cherry red 53. And drove it down to Orleans to celebrate the anniversary. It was there where Pierre was wedded to the lovely mademoiselle. C'est la vie, c'est the old folks. Go to show you never can tell.